Well, good morning to you. I want to share with you this morning a message that picks up with that whole winning the war against things theme that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Remember, we talked a little bit about winning the war with envy. And this morning, we're gonna do something similar. We're going to talk about winning the war with anxiety. And that flipping of the screen may have just made some of you anxious. I apologize. Looks better on my home computer sometimes than when I put it out there. One of the perennial problems that I deal with in my counseling, and you've heard me say this before, is anxiety. Some people have a generalized anxiety about life in general. Like, they're just always like on the edge. And some people have triggers. I guarantee you, everybody in here has some experience with anxiety. And some of you may really be battling it. I take a little bit of medicine every day, even to help with some of the things that I wrestle with and have, especially since I had my strokes a couple years ago, because I know that I, for the first time in my life, am prone to anxiety more than I ever was. And this week I was, of course, you know, I'm dealing with some things with my lower back, and I talked to my doctor on Friday, and the round of steroids they gave me really did nothing, and it's not the steroids' fault, it's just my condition, right? And so I'm talking to the doc, and I'm talking to the doc through the nurses. They're the go-between. This is all on the phone. And I said, is there anything else that we can do? And she said, well, the doc said we can try to get you into the Brain and Spine Institute. We'll try to get an MRI scheduled, but we can't get that done with any speed. And she said, or you could go to the ER. And as soon as she said you could go to the ER, I mean, my heart jumped up in my throat. And I'm like, oh, I'm sweating. Whew. Like I just saw Amy in her bathing suit. I mean, I'm really coming apart here. You know, I mean, it just really got me. And I realized, man, I have a trigger there with the ER. And I thought, well, why do I have a trigger with the ER? And it's because I trace it back to a year ago, last June, going there when my dad passed, and then 6 months prior to that, going there when I had the stroke. I'm all for ERs. I think they're a good thing. I love ER docs. But it brought on this anxiety, and I had to talk myself down, like calm down. And this is all happening while I'm on the phone, and I said to her, is there nothing else you can do? She said, nope. She said, the doc said the ER is the best option. I said, okay. And I got off the phone and I thought, yeah, I'm not going to the ER. They'll have to come get me passed out before I go back to the ER. Now, I may change my mind because it's been a long weekend, but anybody ever have a moment like that, that just all of a sudden you're anxious? You know? Yeah. I mean, lots of times. And what I find as I said, in my Christian counseling practice is, there are people who are literally dealing with this almost all the time. And it can be really debilitating. There's nothing actually worse than never having a moment of peace. I have somebody that I counsel via distance that regularly struggles with this overbearing, overwhelming weight of anxiety, so that even the happiest moments in what we would think are good days are riddled with anxiety. And I feel terrible for them, and I do my best to counsel them. But it's a real issue. And I want to say this has probably been an issue since the garden, since the fall. I mean, anxiety comes with living in a fallen world. And I'm going to talk here in just a minute a little bit about the passage of Scripture that talks about anxiety. I'm going to give you some steps that I have found helpful. And I want to be right up front. This is intentionally like a group therapy sermon. I do this occasionally. I mean, I am a counselor, and I make no apologies for that, because this is us going through some stuff, right? Life brings anxiety. And I also want to say, I think that it's sad that there are some Christian teachers that if you brought this issue to them, they would simply reduce it to, you just don't have enough faith. If you just had more faith, you wouldn't be anxious. Okay? Yes, we need to have faith. But that's horrible. That's terrible counsel to just say it's a matter of faith. All right? It's never that simple. There's nothing that is ever that simple in life. If you're struggling with anxiety today, let me help you to not be anxious about one thing. It is not likely that you just don't have faith. And also, there are those Christians out there, and I used to be one of them, who say, and if you take medicine for anxiety, it demonstrates that you really don't have faith. Well, personally, I think the people that say that need medicine, because that's just irresponsible. God has given us a lot of different means to wholeness. And when I take every day my dose of sertraline, I know that that's one of God's means for wholeness. Now, if I were to take the whole bottle, well, that'd be a whole different story, wouldn't it? But my hope is in the Lord, but I don't apologize for the means he uses. It's the same reason I drink a cup of coffee or something with caffeine when I get up, because I need to get going. Does that mean I don't have faith that God's going to get me through the day? Well, what kind of ridiculousness is that? Of course I have faith God's going to get me through the day, but I don't apologize for the means he uses. So I just want to say up front, this is not reducible to you don't have enough faith. And if you are taking or have considered taking medicines to help with this, they can be a wonderful thing. They're part of God's arsenal to help us fight this battle. All right? And again, I know that there are those who disagree with that, and well, they can just work through it on their own. But if they come to me, I'm going to give them a little different counsel. Amen? Okay, so here's our key verse. It's, there we go, getting anxious again. Philippians 4:6, the first part of that verse. It's interesting, Paul's writing this in jail. He's writing this in jail, and he says, be anxious for nothing. Isn't that great? He's in a Roman prison, and he says, be anxious for nothing. And of course, the verse goes on, and it says, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's kind of a prescriptive verse. But I want to just really think about this. Be anxious for nothing. That is a commandment, right? It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. And if you don't feel a little bit of attention there, maybe it'll help you to pay a little closer attention. So God commands us through his servant Paul not to be anxious. And yet, if you're like me, you know that anxiety doesn't invite itself, doesn't knock and say, is it okay if I come in? When anxiety hits, boom, it's there. And so you can get caught on the horns of this dilemma. I'm not supposed to be anxious, I'm anxious. What's the deal? And again, some people reduce that to, well, it's just a matter of you're not obeying God, you're not believing. It's not that simple. There's a reason that Paul follows on and gives a prescription for how to deal with anxiety after he said, be anxious for nothing. He talks about the importance of prayer and other things. And that'll come up here in a minute. But I want to let the weight of this settle on you for a minute. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. So every something in your world would qualify as part of the nothing that you should be anxious over. And to be anxious, you all know what that means, and it expresses itself in different ways, but it's to fret, it's to feel unsettled, it sometimes attends itself with worry. I want to make this distinction. Anxiety and worry are not the same thing. Anxiety can produce worry, but worry is not always anxiety. You can feel anxious, you can wrestle with anxiety and it not give way to worry. Worry is like putting fuel on the fire, though, when it comes to anxiety. If you find yourself being anxious, and then you start worrying, like my conversation with the doc on Friday. I found myself getting anxious thinking about the hospital, and then I started thinking about MRIs and CAT scans and all those things that put me in a coffin that make me very uncomfortable and make me want to come up out of it. And it's humbling. Until 2 years ago, I didn't have any of that stuff. Yeah, so there you go. But see, then I started worrying. So the anxiety can trigger the worry, but they're not the same thing. They're closely related. And generally, when we get anxious, it does lead us to worry. But Paul is clear here. Be anxious for nothing. But then the Bible talks about this in other places, and what I'm going to present in these four things is how the Bible tells us how to obey this. Would you agree, yes or no, that God wants you to obey the commands he gives you? Yes or no? I'm worried. Okay. This is the audience participation. So I'm going to set you up here. When I ask that question, yes or no, we need to hear a resounding yes. Okay, so would you agree, yes or no, that God wants you to obey what he commands? Yes, absolutely. Would you agree that it would be unfair, unjust, unloving of God to give you a command, hold you to account for not fulfilling it, even though he hasn't given you any ability to fulfill it? I think you would. So here's the thing. We can assume with whatever commands God gives, he's provided the grace for us to follow them. And he has indeed, and that's what we're going to look at here. And that's good news. Our God is love. And love doesn't just command, love enables. It enables us to obey the commands. So let's talk a little bit here, and this is going to follow the acrostic for the word rest. And we'll look at this. So if you find yourself anxious and you want to win the war over anxiety, first of all, reflect on what triggers anxiety. Reflect on what triggers anxiety. Most of the time when I talk to people about this at any length, there's a pattern that anxiety is associated with. And there'll be certain thought processes they'll go through. There'll be certain circumstances. Maybe it's a certain person, or they come to a certain time of year and a memory comes up. And generally, those are the things that trigger the anxiety. It's not always that case, because anxiety is also like a ninja sometimes. It'll just jump in the dark and you don't know what's coming. All right. But many times you'll find that if you reflect on what's triggering the anxiety, there's a pattern. Now, basically what I'm saying is this, and this is really hard to do sometimes when you're in the moment with anxiety, is if you can say, hold on, let me think about why all of a sudden I'm anxious. Or why have I felt this building anxiety? It may be hard to do that at times, but I promise God's grace will meet you there. Because if you start thinking about why you're feeling anxious, if you start thinking about why it is that anxiety is being triggered, then you move into a position where you can identify certain things, right? And if you can identify what it is that's triggering the anxiety, there's a very good chance you can address it. The worst kind of anxiety is when you have no idea why you're anxious, but you're anxious. We all want to solve the anxious problem. So when you start off and just say, I know I'm anxious. I know my heart may be elevated. I know I'm having kind of some catastrophizing in my mind. I'm thinking worst case scenario. Why? What happened? Many times you'll find the exit from the anxious moment if you just reflect on the trigger. This is common. Let me give you a common example from my own experience. Amy and I have talked about this. If Amy drinks caffeine after a certain point in the day, or if she has like a piece of chocolate in the evening, not only is she going to have trouble going to sleep, but she's very likely to have an anxiety episode later that night. Now, at first, you know, when that would happen, we're like, what's the deal? Why, you know what? Then we realized that caffeine is a trigger for Amy. It's a trigger for a lot of us, right? But that's a simple example of we reflected on why she was anxious, and we could immediately address that by saying, hey, after a certain point in the day, don't have anything caffeinated. Don't eat any chocolate. Does that sound just too good to be true? It is that simple in some instances. Now, it's not always going to be a physical trigger, but sometimes anxiety is triggered by something physical. It also might be you have a memory. Maybe you're reflecting on certain things. Like for example, if you've ever been at odds with somebody, and we all have people that we get on better with than others, right? But if you have a hurt that has been caused by someone, or maybe you caused that someone hurt, and it's not really resolved, you could be driving through town and see their vehicle, and all of a sudden you're like, huh, right? And not only do you feel startled, but that can lead you to begin to be anxious. Well, see, that's a trigger. And if you just take time to think about it and reflect on it, and dare I say, even write down what your trigger points are so that you don't have to share them with anybody, but that you know what you're dealing with, many times you will immediately diffuse the anxiety bomb right there. Because as you recognize what the trigger is, you reflect on it, then you can say, hold on, let's back up. And you start to talk yourself through whatever that trigger is about, and pretty soon the anxiety has settled because you've realized all that was a trigger. I don't have to pull it. I don't have to let it be pulled. Does that make sense? I promise, beloved, I speak from experience, not just in counseling people with this, but in doing this. The first step many times is the key step here. If you will simply reflect on what triggers your anxiety, you'll be able to be anxious for nothing a whole lot better. All right? here's another one. E, express your anxiety to God. Express your anxiety to God. You may never have thought about it, but God isn't afraid for you to tell him you're feeling anxious. It doesn't make God anxious. As a matter of fact, God delights when you're just plain honest with him. Have you ever read the Psalms? Think about how many times David is lamenting and complaining and talking about how he is essentially worried. But he's telling God. See, there's something about talking to God honestly about how you're feeling and the anxiety that you're dealing with that can become very reassuring. And many times what I have found in my own experience is if I'm wrestling with anxiety and I have taken time to reflect on it, then as I voice it to God, Lord, I'm really feeling anxious. I think it might be this, but I'm not sure. Many times in that prayer where I tell God how I'm feeling, he will prompt me to think further in different areas. And sometimes he'll reveal to me, there's another piece to this that you haven't reflected on. And I'll be saying, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Is it this? And as I'm praying it out loud, the Spirit prompts me. And then immediately it's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about this unresolved issue. I didn't think about what I had done here. I forgot that I had 3 monsters and 6 packs of chocolate candy bars. That could be part of it, Lord, things like that. But a lot of times God speaks to us as we're speaking to him. So voicing that to God is very important. Studies have been shown because the mind has what's called plasticity, which means it can be shaped and molded. And if it's in one form, if you do certain things, it'll change into another form, right? So you can wear new thought patterns into your mind. Studies have been shown that if people will give appropriate vent to what they're feeling, if they will learn to lament out, voice it or write it down or sing it, over time, they start to perceive those things differently because as they speak it and they hear themselves speak it, their mind can be changed. That's a scientific fact. It's part of the studies that go on in psychology and so on. And it really is, there is a mind-body connection there. Well, that's why the scriptures say, come to me and pour out your heart before the Lord. Haven't you ever wondered why Paul commands us not to be anxious? And then right after that, he says, but pray. What do you think he wants you to pray about? What you're anxious about? The worst thing you can do is go before God with anxiety and pray like it's not there. You follow that? So you're wrestling with something. You're anxious. And you go before the Lord and you talk to him about everything but that. And he's like the parent who's watching the child hide something behind their back. He sees what's behind your back. He's not going to out you necessarily, but it would sure make sense if you said, oh, well, actually, Lord, and you bring it out in front of him. As you talk it out with him, it's amazing how much he will minister to you. Now, there's a nice little side benefit to this. Maybe you have somebody that you're comfortable enough with to talk about your anxious moments. And when you share that with them and they can help you reflect on what's triggering it, if you'll say to them, and I've seen this happen many times in my own life, will you pray for me about this issue? As they pray for you, it will many times be the voice of God ministering to you. It's a great thing. They're talking to God, and the words they say to God also have this sideways effect on you. Now, it takes some real willingness to be vulnerable to admit to people you're anxious and let them pray for you. But if you're willing to do that, you'll find great victory over anxiety in many instances. And plus, it knits you together closer with that person. But don't ever doubt the value of sideways praying. When people are talking to God, if you're listening many times, that's going to minister to you. I have one person in particular that I pray with once a week, usually on the phone. And I have many times said to them after the call, after the prayer has ended, you have no idea how you pray just ministered to me. But that's just how it works. That's how God works. Again, he loves us. He doesn't want us miserable with anxiety. He cares enough about us to give us ways out of it. Okay, so reflect on what triggers your anxiety. Express your anxiety to God. Now, S, struggle against the anxious thoughts. Here's what I mean by that. Anxious thoughts sometimes present themselves as undoubtable truths. Many times an anxious thought will come in and you'll find yourself wrestling and you'll start to think, the way I'm feeling is absolutely the way it is. Maybe you struggle with fear of death. And part of that is precipitated by you go back and forth in terms of your assurance with the Lord. Sometimes you feel really secure that if you were to die and meet him today, you'd be gold. You're good. But then there are other times when you think, if I died right now, I'm going to believe. And that can precipitate some anxiety. If you will choose when that anxious thought is there to struggle with it and not let it be the truth that it's trying to be. In other words, if you'll say, hold on, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. God has promised me salvation. He has promised me eternal life. God does not lie. You see, I'm doing battle with that anxious thought. The worst thing we can do is just let an anxious thought run rampant and be a tyrant in our minds and in our hearts, because it's amazing how many friends they have. Those anxious thoughts have an army waiting to join them. And pretty soon you're not just anxious about that, you're anxious about everything. And I've seen people whose anxiety cripples them. They can't even get in the car and drive anywhere. And there's help for that. And many times strong medicine will help initially with that. But the reality is, anxiety is an invitation to spiritual warfare on your behalf. I'm not saying that every anxious thought is demonic in origin or sin related, but I am saying that we are called to be at peace in ourselves. The Holy Spirit in us is a spirit of a sound mind. And so when anxiety starts to come in, whatever its source, if you will do battle with it, you will find that it doesn't have as much staying power as you might think. I have seen anxiety many times bow up and act tough until truth was applied, and then it tucks tail and runs. Now, these three things often go together. Sometimes the best way to fight against anxiety, sometimes the best way to struggle against it and fight and wrestle with it is in prayer. And not just one prayer, but many prayers. I often find myself doing this. If I'm wrestling with any particular aspect of anxiety, or I know someone is, I will tell them, as often as this comes to your mind, I want you to pray. As often as you wrestle with this, I want you to pray. And they say, well, I'm going to be praying all the time. I say, well, the Bible does say pray without ceasing. But there's a period of intensity there that if you will pray and wrestle, you're gonna start to break free from it. I promise. Now, I'm not giving you a, if you do this and then you do that on this time frame it happens, but generally this is the case. So you got to do battle. Struggle against those anxious thoughts. Don't give dominion to anything except what Jesus says should have dominion. His Holy Spirit is the only thing that should reign and rule in our hearts and minds. The peace of God is to reign and rule in our hearts and minds. Don't let anxiety take up residency where it doesn't belong. These are ways to help with that. Okay, so reflect on what triggers it, express it to God, struggle against the anxious thoughts. And then this last letter is something I've only started doing recently, and I found that it's actually been good. Transform anxiety into prayerful affirmations. I've always been kind of that guy that, you know, and this is not to my credit, I'm not proud of this, but I'm just being honest, that thought, well, people who need to voice positive affirmations, that's kind of squirrely. You know, I always think of that skit on Saturday Night Live from some years ago where that character would stand in the mirror and they talk about, doggone it, I'm worth it. And I always thought of positive affirmations that way. But then, you know, life kicks you in the stomach and you realize, well, you know, that maybe there's a place for that. And I wish I had come to this a long time ago. And I know several of you did come to this a long time before me. But specifically with anxiety, what I have found is that if I will, whatever that anxious thought is doing or however it's making me feel, if I will vocalize, and sometimes even standing in the mirror and doing this, I know that might sound odd to some of you, standing in the mirror and doing this and saying what is absolutely affirmative and true will give you release from from the anxiety. For example, let's talk about somebody who fears that that they're just one step away from catastrophe in their life. They're convinced, and the anxiety riddles them that the other shoe is always getting ready to fall off. We might have a good moment, but we're getting ready to have a bad season, right? If that person, and maybe that's you, I've been there on occasion, if that person will simply make prayerful, positive affirmations, and here's what that looks like. God, you said that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you said that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. It doesn't even have to be, and God, you said. It can just be you repeating the scripture. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is my refuge and strength, my very present help in trouble. Let me tell you something. Anxiety does not like that language. It doesn't. It wants to get out. And you're filling yourself with what's true. All those things are true. And listen, we got 66 books of good stuff. I don't know that I would pick some of them, like Judas went out and hanged himself. You go do likewise. That's not a good plan. Don't go down that road when you're wrestling with anxiety. Okay? But the basic idea here is let truth have its voice and say these things as affirmations and know that they're true for you. All right? So all I've done very simply here is kind of autobiographically walk you through and from my own life how to follow this verse. Be anxious for nothing. Everything that Paul said after this in Philippians, prayer, petition with thanksgiving, presenting your requests, it's all assumed here. But listen, beloved, I'd love to tell you that anxiety is going to go away. It will in heaven. There's always going to be things that are going to at least tempt us to anxiety, and some of us are going to deal with it more than others the rest of our days. I'm not giving up. I'm just simply saying it is part of this fallen world. But we can move in the direction of obedience to this verse and enjoying the peace of God if we'll reflect on what triggers anxiety, express that anxiety to God, struggle against those anxious thoughts, tell them what's true, and transform anxiety into prayerful affirmations. That's my desire, because I want to enjoy the latter part of what Paul said, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Is that what you want? Sure it is. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for Paul and this word he gave us. We pray that you would give us the victory here over anxiety. Help us to take these steps to rest here. And Lord, we pray that in our weakness and in our brokenness that anxiety so often will reveal, we'll see the light of Christ shine through. I pray for my brothers and sisters, even now that are wrestling with this. And I pray that this is a timely word for them and that your peace, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. We do pray this in Christ's name. Amen.